I'm Shanna Hutchison, dietitian, blogger, and mama, born and raised in the heart of the Midwest. I believe that wellness goes way beyond what we eat and that our body size does not determine our worth. I am passionate about showing other women how to live a life they truly love, one that feels purposeful, that helps them feel their best physically, mentally, and emotionally, and that being a mom can be one of the best things you ever do without it becoming your entire identity. This is a place you can come to hear vulnerable and interesting conversations about health and wellness, motherhood, entrepreneurship, and more. If you want to find freedom with food, learn how to improve your overall well-being, and stop waiting for a number on the scale to start living your best life and go after your goals, then you're in the right place. I'm so excited to learn and grow together. This is the Wellness for the Win podcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. It has been a hot minute, or like 10. I miss podcasting so much. I miss being on the mic. I know I've said that literally every time that I've recorded one since Levi was born, but it's just, you know, they're few and far between these days. So I am excited to be here today, excited to be sharing an actual interview with you, which I haven't done in a long time. I know this conversation won't necessarily apply to everyone in my community, but I hope that it will reach the people who will benefit from it. So whether you are a parent or caregiver of a child with a feeding tube, or an adult with a feeding tube, or a medical professional who could benefit from this knowledge, or you're just interested in learning more about this community and the type of things that are helpful for families like us, it's just full of great information, and I think that you will find some great takeaways from it. So I'll be chatting with my friend and fellow registered dietitian, Hillary, today. She specializes in the blended tube feeding diet. She has a ton of professional experience in this area, and I personally have learned so much from her over the past several months. She has generously offered me so much advice, and I'm super grateful for her expertise, because truly this is new territory for me. Even as a dietitian myself, I just am not super familiar with this method, or, you know, the information that this entails. So I've learned so much from her. And then now, obviously, as a mom with a kiddo with a feeding tube, I've just like soaked up all of her knowledge, and I'm super, super grateful for everything she shares. So let's go ahead and jump right into the interview, and I hope you enjoy. Hello, Hillary. Thank you so much for being here. First off, I just want you to tell my audience a little bit about yourself. Who you are as a human, but also as a registered dietitian, really just how you got into the blended tube feeding space specifically and why you're so passionate about it.
Yeah. So I live with my husband in Michigan. We are big foodies. I honestly like hate that word, to be totally honest. I don't know why. It really explains who we are. Yeah. We all things food. We love to try new recipes. We're always splitting meals if we can, try more food. We mm-hmm. love to garden. We love to use food as medicine. So it's been like really cool just to be able to just share my passion with food with a tube feeding community. But as far as my path into blenderized tube feeding, like as much as I would like to say that I have been like a passionate advocate my whole life, I have not been. Mm-hmm. You know, like dietitians, I don't know how you are taught, but we're just taught that it's only formula through a feeding tube, right? Like it's not safe to do anything besides formula. And at the same time, I felt like we didn't really have space to question that. I don't know if you felt the same way, but luckily I was fortunate to work with families who were really open to it and wanted to teach me. And so I want to tell you a quick story that will kind of paint a picture for how I got into this space. So at the time I was working in a pediatric neurodevelopment clinic. This was probably 4 or 5 years into my career. And it was a very busy clinic. Like this was most of the high-risk NICU babies out of the NICU, following them till they're 18 years of age. Also kids, you know, from the community with autism, picky eating, that sort of thing. So it was a lot of calls to families. Like we're obviously seeing them in the clinic, but most of my job was managing things between visits, like ton of tube feeding intolerance, ton of growth issues. And so, you know, I was just really, really busy. And one day it dawned on me, I was like, you know, the people that are not actually calling me, the people I only see once a year are the ones that are doing real food for tube feeding. And this was like a new concept to me. So I was thinking about it. I'm like, why is that? And I started to realize like they're the ones that are really not struggling from a digestive perspective. But also the parents didn't need me for every decision. Like formula is confusing. Like you adjust the regimen all the time. The dietitians do that, but the family doesn't really feel very much autonomy over doing that. Where with real food, it's much more intuitive once you try it and you just do it. Yeah. And so, they were the ones that just weren't really calling me. And so I started looking into the research and was getting excited about it. I had families asking me, they were like, wanted to try it too. And I mean, I didn't have very much experience. So I was like, sure, let's just try it together. Let's just see how this goes. And there was one time, I'll never forget this. One of the first families I was working with, she sent me an email that said, I didn't realize how much I was missing this. I feel like a parent again. And it just like, I don't know. I still get emotional thinking about it because
it gave me goosebumps.
Something you just don't think about, sadly. Like, I feel like dietitians are, we're crunching numbers. We're trying to make a perfect plan on paper. And we're so disconnected from the family.
Yeah. Actual person in life.
Exactly. Yeah. And nutrition is so much more than food for me. And of course it is for people fed by feeding tube. So I was just, this is amazing. Why are we not all doing this? So it started me down the path of, you know, trying to help people with this and learning. And it's really been a perfect combination of my passion of real food with the experience that I have clinically. So it's like a natural, perfect fit, but it was not necessarily how I started out.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I love that so much. Like just that perspective of, you know, I feel like that about, you know, people who eat by mouth as well, that food is so much more than just nutrition. You know, like you said, it's fun. It's fun to explore and experiment with different foods and like experience different cultures. And there's so many different aspects of food that we can enjoy. And then yes, it's like this whole different layer and component when someone has a feeding tube, but that doesn't mean they have to miss out on the fun and the benefits of food and the thing, all the amazing things that food can provide. And yes, just, it makes me think, you know, back to my clinical days, which feels like a million years ago. I remember like every once in a while, we would have someone who wanted to use real food. And again, this is like such a vague memory because it's been so long, but you know, I do remember like all the, you know, formulas that we had on our formulary that were just our go-tos that everyone used, but it would kind of shake things up occasionally when someone would come in wanting like to do blended food. And again, as the dietitians, we didn't really know anything about it. So we were like, I don't really know. Like, I don't know how to support you in that. But most of the people who were bringing that from home knew what they were doing. They're like, we can handle this. So it is interesting now, like it's a full circle moment for me as a dietitian, but also as a parent who has a kiddo with a feeding tube, just like getting back into this space and the mindset of hopefully starting it soon. Just for reference for those listening right now, Levi actually turned 11 months yesterday. So he'll be one before we freaking know it, like in 1 month. So we're hoping to make that transition. And we'll kind of talk about that throughout this interview as well. But yeah, it's something, you know, and too, I want to give a shout out to my friend, Allison, AR Jake on Instagram. She's how I initially found Hillary, and, you know, found her account and started learning about blended tube feeding from her. But for people who are not super familiar, you know, again, this might seem obvious. It might seem like, okay, blended tube feeding, you know, it's blended food. But for those who don't really know all like the nitty gritty details and stuff, can you talk a little bit about like, what is the blended diet? What does that look like? One thing that I love about you that I think we really agree on is that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. You know, that goes for people eating by mouth and that goes for people eating by tube. So I think that is just such a good perspective to share with people who are maybe intimidated by this or, you know, don't know where to start. So yeah, if you could just like start with the bare bones basics of like, what is the blended diet?
Glad we're going over this because I think it's tempting to pass over this and just assume people. Right. So just food and liquid blended together, like literally put into a blender and made to a thin enough consistency that it flows through a feeding tube. So I always like to have people think about it this way. Like our mouth is chewing the food and it's going through our esophagus into our stomach. Well, blended diet is just the blender's doing that chewing and breaking it down. And then it's going through the feeding tube into the stomach instead of through the mouth. So, but like you said, it doesn't have to be all or nothing approach. And it's different. I think we should talk too about how it's different than what's typical for tube feeders. So most people will be started on a standard synthetic formula, and this is usually made out of processed ingredients, synthetic vitamins. It's just the typical thing that we start patients on. It's covered by insurance. But I want to also preface too that in no way are we today saying that formula is bad, right? Yes. It's an option, and there's so many times that formula is necessary. It's the safest option. It works best for the family. So absolutely no shame in using formula. And there's also plenty of ways to use formula in your blended diet. It's just in my experience, most people are not told, like they're just given the option for formula only, and they don't even know that real food is an option. So But like you said, it's not an all or nothing approach. I have so many families that will use it in addition to their meals. They'll blend real food into their formula. There's companies that are now coming out with formulas that are real food based, or they are, you know, have some real food in them, or 100% real food, where they're blending the food and packaging it and giving it with your medical supplies. So there's a lot of options to do any sort of way of formula, real food. There's things that make it more doable, because let's be honest, like, who has time to make 100% of their food? People who eat by mouth don't do that. Like, I don't eat home cooked meals all the time. And so it shouldn't be an expectation that you're going to do that. If it works for you, that's great. But you're going to be busy. You're going to have hospital stays. You're going to be traveling. You're going to be tired, and you don't want to blend food, and you don't have it in the freezer. And so there's great products out there. So there's a lot of ways to do this.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that. Like I said, it's not an all or nothing thing. And that's such a good point that, you know, think about, obviously it would be great and ideal if we all ate healthy home-cooked meals for every single meal, but we don't. Especially those of us who have a medically complex child, you know, we're definitely not making everything by scratch. We don't have time. We would love to, you know, take care of our own health occasionally, but sometimes it falls to the back burner because our child is, like, you know, first focus and main priority at the moment. So, yes, it is great that there are so many options that make it more accessible and realistic and less time consuming, all of that kind of stuff. But you're going to share some ways that you can, you know, do some of it yourself in a way that is realistic also. So it can be kind of a combination. So for someone who, again, like myself, I'm kind of like your ideal client because I have a kiddo with a feeding tube. I'm very interested in this kind of thing. But I know, and from a dietitian perspective, I know that it's not fully understood. Like I said, even for a lot of dietitians still don't even know, like, how to support patients in this. And so a lot of doctors push back, because no shade to doctors whatsoever, but they aren't, you know, super educated on nutrition specifically. So sometimes they push back on this with families. So can you kind of explain what some of the benefits of the blended diet are that you've seen your patients and clients experience, so that maybe people can bring this to their team and say, hey, we've heard that XYZ is something that we can achieve with a blended diet, and we really want to try it?
Yeah, for sure. So I think it's interesting too to point out that before there was formula, this is what people did. Like, we didn't always have formula, you know?
Yeah,
so, like,
that's true.
Always, every time I hear that, I'm like, yeah, like, it's people, this is what we did. I mean, this was before the 1970s, right? So in the 1970s is when really formula boomed, and that was the way of doing things. And so now there's this comeback of people wanting to do real food because of the amazing benefits. So it's kind of coming full circle in that way too. But I want to break down the benefits into three different categories, because I think that'll be helpful to explain it. The first one is digestion. And I would say this is the one where the biggest reason people are wanting to do real food is because they're hearing that it's going to help with digestive issues. So many families are in the weeds managing digestive issues, and they're seeking alternative solutions. And in research, and what I see with so many patients, is that real food really helps with reflux, vomiting, gagging, retching. It helps to improve bowel regularity. And again, we see this so many times. So it might be helpful to explain why that is, because it's great to hear that, but, like, why does real food make the difference?
Yeah.
So in my experience, and again, shown in the literature, is that real food is thicker. So this might be, like, obvious to some, but for some it's like, oh, duh, of course this is going to help. So you have your kiddos that are really refluxy and gaggy, and they're retching a lot. And it could be because of their medical condition, or they have a trach and they're managing their secretions, and there's just a lot going on. They're coughing all the time. They're sick. And so that thin formula is going to come up so much easier than a thick blended food. And so that one change there makes a huge difference for so many kiddos. But also, I mean, it's hard to study nutrition, right? And hard to know exactly what's causing things. But a lot of people propose that real food also just mimics what our body is used to and what we are typically consuming. And so our body moves it through more naturally. And then the other reason people feel like this is helping is because we have so much more flexibility. So you can imagine, you have a single formula routine, you can't really do a lot with it. Yes, you can find a new formula, but they're kind of all the same, you know, maybe broken down a little bit in different ways. But if you have a kiddo with constipation or reflux, or an adult that is dealing with some sort of medical condition, if they were eating by mouth, we could tweak their diet in a different way to help them feel better, where you can't really do that with formula. So having that flexibility, it makes a huge difference to help with just all sorts of digestive issues.
If you are listening to this episode, you most likely have a little one. So I wanted to share about a brand that we have used and loved since Rhett was a tiny baby, and that is Tubby Todd. You've probably heard of them. They are famous for their all-over ointment, but they have tons of other products too, like bath soaps and shampoos, diaper cream, sunscreen, and they have stuff for babies and toddlers and even products for mamas. So when Rhett was a little baby and had cradle cap on his forehead, their all-over ointment was really helpful with that, and it was also great for other dry patches that he would get on his skin. And we continue to use and love all of their bath soaps and shampoos, and they have so many yummy scents. But the best part is that they're all super gentle and don't irritate his sensitive skin. Their Sweet Cheeks diaper paste is also a favorite. It works like a charm on diaper rash. And one of their other products that I love is their mineral sunscreen, especially the face stick, because if you have a toddler, you know how challenging it can be to get them to sit still for 10 seconds. So this is super quick and easy to apply. And they also have a mineral mist as well that I've been eyeing, because once again, that sounds easier to put on than rubbing on cream. So if you're interested in trying any of the Tubby Todd products, you can use my affiliate link in the show notes and get 10% off your purchase. I hope you and your little ones will love them too.
Love that. Honestly, I'm like taking notes because I'm like, honestly, these are things like everything that you're saying, I'm like nodding along because I'm like, yes, Levi struggles with reflux. And it's just making me so excited to try this because I really feel like it will be helpful for him reflux wise. He struggles with constipation, which, you know, a lot of kiddos who have these have some sort of neurological condition like Levi does. And there's that huge gut brain connection, and digestion is hard in a lot of ways. And yeah, constipation is definitely a struggle over here for us. So I'm just excited to see how this could potentially help him be more regular. And that another thing that crossed my mind that I feel like people ask me about, just not from a tube feeding perspective, but just like nutrition in general, is people are always curious, like with, you know, because it's sort of similar to a smoothie, right? You know, we're blending food up similar to a smoothie, and people always have concerns about like, how does blending affect the nutrients and the fiber? You know, does the fiber just like disappear when you blend it? Can you like speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I don't know if it's been studied well to have like, this is for sure what's happening. Because there's also questions about that too with jejunal feeding. So, you know, when you're feeding tube passes through your stomach and into your intestines, and it's like, are we missing the nutrient absorption there? I don't know if we truly know because it hasn't really been studied. But for me, the fiber is still there. It's just being broken down. So that's what our stomach does. Is turn food over and break things down. And it's sort of just doing that in the blender. Right. I find more with like, you know, you're juicing and you're losing a lot of the tough pieces. That's where you're going to lose more of the fiber. But in my experience, there hasn't been any studies showing that that's happening. Now I don't, you know, I can't say for sure, but my professional experience would say that it's just, you know, the blender is acting like your mouth and your stomach turning right. things over.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, raw vegetables as opposed to cooked vegetables. Like the cooking process makes it easier on your stomach to digest because it's done some of that breaking down for you. So I think it's just like one step further. So yes, the fiber is still there. And like you said, you're not juicing and getting like physically getting rid of a lot of those fiber containing pieces. So yeah, just wanted to kind of point that out because I think that's a just concern or like question that people have.
Yeah. In my experience too, I mean, the kiddos that are struggling with constipation and could use benefits of fiber, they do better on blended food. So something's working, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. It's moving things along. That's good. Okay. What's the next category of benefits?
This one, I'm going to say overall health, because This encompasses increased energy, improved immune function, decreased hospital admissions, ability to gain weight, improved oral intake. These are all things that have both been shown in literature and things I see over and over. And I think this is really attributed to feeling better. You have better digestion, you're going to have better energy. A lot of the stuff too with oral intake, I mean, this is a big reason why families want to try this, is because of course you want your kid to be able to eat some more food if they can. And so being able to, I think it's because they're feeling better. You know, if you're puking all day, every day, you're not going to want to eat. No. So I think there's a big role in it. Again, they don't really know exactly why, but could be that they're burping up flavors, could be that they're watching you, you know, if they're developmentally appropriate to watch you put food in the blender and they can see that. I mean, that can be an association with food too, but to reduce hospital admission. I know this is a big one as well. Yeah. The big point of this is that what it was actually been shown in literature is there's reduced reflux. So there's less aspiration and pneumonia. And that's why kiddos are staying more out of the hospital because of that. But I think a big thing too, I mean, I hear from so many families, like my kiddo on a blended diet is the healthiest. They never get sick because they're getting all of this amazing food that the rest of my kids will not even touch.
Yeah. I know. I had a friend tell me that. She's like, my tube fed kid is way, like, gets all of his fruits and vegetables. My other kids are eating, like, living on goldfish. So yeah, it's so true.
Yep. And then the last category, I'm going to say emotional benefits, because arguably I feel like this is the most important, because like I was saying with that mom saying, I didn't know how much I was missing this. I mean, there is something innate in us that wants to nurture our child and feed them. And it can be disconnecting if you are doing formula. And again, like, it worked and it's great, and there's reasons for that, but there's something to being able to cook and share meals with the family and everyone's eating the same thing, or they're eating this meal, but we're eating the rest of the meal. I mean, how many families are all eating the same food right now anyway? Because
right. Yeah.
But like just being able to participate in holidays or have birthday cake. I mean, like, we don't have to be amazing, healthy, blended diet all the time. Like, you can blend birthday cake and share Thanksgiving dinner. And I just think that part is really cool.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned that, because I think no one would think of like, oh, I'm going to blend a piece of cake and give it to them, you know, but it's like, why do they have to miss out on all the fun? And yeah, they may not be able to taste it, you know, and experience it quite the same, but they can still feel like included. And that is huge. So yeah, I love that. And like, you have a reel of like blending up like pizza night with your family and like a kebab night or something, like grilled stuff. So it's like, there's just so many opportunities to make your tube fed child or yourself, you know, if you're listening and you have a feeding tube, then, you know, for you to feel included in the holidays and special things, or even just normal dinners at home. So love that perspective. So next up, I wanted to talk about some of the myths that we hear. Because for people who aren't super familiar with this concept, you may not be familiar with some of the messaging surrounding it. So for those who are wanting to try it, I think touching on some of the myth busting is important. So there may be things that people haven't even heard before, but what are some of the most common myths that you hear regarding the blended diet that you would like to kind of address?
Yeah, I think it's really important to address this, because so many people get pushback. And so if you're listening and you're getting pushback, it's normal. And I hope to help you work through some of that. But if you haven't talked to your team about this, I think it's good to know that there are it's probably abnormal for your doctors to be like, yep, this is amazing, let's do it. Obviously that happens, but I think it's good just to prepare for what can actually happen. And I think it's good too, to just address that. I don't think clinicians are necessarily like trying to be malicious. You know, I think they're just really misinformed and, like I said, very busy. And so it's a tendency to take this overly cautious approach. And when you don't have a lot of time with patients, you just kind of make assumptions. I mean, even to, we'll kind of get on a tangent, but I remember before I was working with families with blended tube feeding, and we would be in the visit and I could tell that they were at capacity. Their child was in the weeds of digestive issues. I thought, okay, maybe blending would help. But at the same time, it's this place where it's a fine line of not wanting to make somebody feel bad for what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So yes, like real food could be helpful, but then like we hear it's so hard and it's so much work, and we don't want to say like, hey, you should be doing this. And then you make somebody feel really bad. So I think that's part of the reason why people push back. But again, I think also it's just being misinformed and not being up to date with what's actually going on.
Okay, I have to tell you guys about one of my absolute favorite things that I'm pretty confident that you need in your life as well. We're all on our phones for a large portion of every day, right? So why not make it easier and more comfortable to hold your phone or prop it up with a nifty little gadget? I'm talking about my love handle phone grip. I'm seriously obsessed with this thing. So it's a stretchy strap that you can put on the back of your phone, but you can still lay your phone flat or stick it in your back pocket. It also has a little kickstand on the back so you can prop your phone up, which is probably my favorite feature that I'm using constantly. It even has a super strong magnet on the back. They have tons of cute designs and you can stick them on any phone case. If you've been looking for something like this, look no further. Use my affiliate code WellnessForTheWin for 10% off your purchase of Love Handle. All right, let's get back to the show.
So So in my experience, there's four different things that people typically push back on. One of them is that you're going to clog a feeding tube. It makes sense. Like, tubes are small. They're designed likely with formula in mind, yeah. But most clinicians are not aware that it's actually pretty easy to avoid a clogged feeding tube if you use the right equipment. There are blenders out there that are amazing. Like, it is amazing to me how well that they blend food. Yeah. Things with seeds, peels, I bought one of them. It's a Blendtec and Vitamix, I would say, are the most popular. And I look at it, I'm like, this does not look like it's going to blend the food down, but it is amazing how liquid it gets the food completely to blend. Yeah. And so having something like that can make a huge difference. But there's other things too that I help families with, like how long you should be blending and how much food you should be putting in the blender, because that can make a difference too. So, and of course, you can use a strainer if you need to. I think it's good to caution relying on a strainer though, because if you have a standard blender that's not that great, you're going to be left with a ton of chunky pieces, and now you're almost just juicing. You're not actually getting the full food. So there are some nuances to making sure that you're blending safely, but I can't think of more than a handful of people that ever had a clogged feeding tube that I've worked with. And most of the time, it's, if they're going to have issues, it's with like a pump. It's not necessarily the button or the feeding tube itself. It's the devices that you're using to give the food.
That makes sense. Good to know.
Another one is that you can't meet nutrition needs. Now, I could go off on this one because I feel something always everyone talks about, but I think for people or for dietitians and clinicians who are used to tube feeding, we're taught to be nutritionally complete. So the idea is that that is going to give you all the nutrition you need in a day. And for a single formula routine, that's obviously important, because if it's low in vitamin D, let's say, if you don't get enough of it, because you're getting the same thing every day, all day, right? And so if you don't have enough vitamin D in that plan, you're going to have a deficiency.
Right.
But not the reality with real food. And I think this is where families get really frustrated. And we kind of touched on this earlier, but you'll have a kiddo who is a toddler in their picky phase, and they're eating three brown foods, and the doctors are like, it's fine, they'll grow out of it. Give them another. Try broccoli tomorrow, like whatever. Yeah. But their keto fed by feeding tube is under a microscope. And the only way to do a blended diet is if you're perfect with it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I always just encourage dietitians.
A double standard. Yeah.
Definitely double standard. And I think it's because dietitians are taught, it's like we think about tube feeding totally different than we think about oral eaters.
Yeah.
In reality, if you think about a feeding tube, again, it's just another way to get nutrition in the body. You can treat this like an oral eater. You know, make sure other food groups. And if they're not, you know, they might need a supplement. So if just thinking about it as an oral eater, it's very easy to ensure that you're meeting nutrition needs. And this might be controversial, but I think a mediocre blended diet is still far better than a lot of people are eating. And there's benefits that we talked about. So I would rather somebody do like an okay job and get the benefits of real food, and they're likely not going to get a deficiency. Honestly, who knows? Maybe we all have a deficiency, right? Like all of us oral eaters, something I don't have, you know? Yeah, so that's a good myth to bust, is like, it's not that hard to do it. There's easy ways to make sure that you're getting everything that you need. And I think benefits outweigh not doing it at all. So
I think that's such a good perspective and a good reminder. And like, again, as a medical parent, it takes the pressure off, because yes, you do feel like you have to like hit these exact numbers. You know, if we don't get like the perfect volume each day, I'm like, shoot, he didn't get enough. You know, he's going to not be getting enough protein or enough fluid, or, you know, all these freaking, you know, you're doing mental math all the time. But it's great to think about, oh, well, my toddler didn't eat yesterday, you know, so it's like, he's fine. You know, he's getting 85% of what he needed that day. You know, he's fine. So it just takes the pressure off and helps us give ourselves grace as medical parents. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect every single day. It's not going to be. If they were eating orally, it wouldn't be perfect either. So yes, right. I love that.
I understand the concern too, because, you know, your oral eaters, they're more in control, where a lot of kids fed by feeding tube don't necessarily show hunger cues. And it's, you know, if you didn't feed them, that would be a problem. So there's definitely reason to be concerned. There's always problems with growth, right? And so I think it's also knowing that there's approaches to try this stuff that keep calories in check. And, you know, for those of you who have never fed your child real food before, I know just throwing food in the blender and hoping for the best is very intimidating. So The way we always approach it is just we have recipes that match your calories of the formula. So you can just test things out, make sure you're meeting nutrition needs. You don't have to be completely on your own. There are ways to a strategy to do this that makes you feel more comfortable. And then eventually you'll get to the point of being like, okay, I know how to blend. I know how to make a meal. It's fine. Yep. But take a little bit to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. I know once I saw some of your recipes, I was like, oh, it's like a normal breakfast recipe. Just blend it up. It's like, it's not anything crazy. So it does feel intimidating. And I think even still for me, I'm a little bit nervous about it, but I feel like once I dive into it, I think for me and for a lot of people, it's like the anticipation of trying a new thing is always way scarier than actually doing it. So once you kind of dip your toes in, you'll hopefully realize, oh, this is easier than I thought. And once you see the benefits, hopefully you're like, you know, oh, I want to continue this. So yeah.
Totally. Another one is food safety. So this is like always comes up that you're going to get a foodborne illness, blah, blah, blah. But it's just not the truth. And it's not really supported in literature. It's actually not supported in literature. And I think it's important to point out that it's not inherently riskier, but just because you have a feeding tube rather than by mouth. The reality is food safety is a concern no matter what. And I can bet if someone told me, you know, you shouldn't have food because there's a risk for you getting sick, I'd be like, well, I'll just take the necessary precautions. So it's the same thing. It's just more in the handling and the care of the food rather than just because it's going through a feeding tube. But honestly, it's just common sense. It's your typical food safety practices. Keep things separate. You know, don't mix raw and produce together. Keep food at safe temperature. I think probably the biggest one is because you're not tasting it, it might be a tendency to blend things because you're not tasting it. So like something out in nature that technically has good nutrition, but it's not actually safe to consume, or food that has been in the back of the fridge might be kind of spoiling. You're like, it's fine. I'll just throw it in there. I mean, a lot of parents are going to do that, but I've some, you know, adults that are like, I'm not going to taste it anyway. And they get a little sick from that. Or, you know, if you're not sure how to blend stuff, just think, how would I eat this by mouth? Like a potato, right? You're not going to eat a raw potato. So just cook the potato first. You wouldn't eat raw flour. So just anything, if you wouldn't put it in your mouth, don't put it in the blender that way, I think is the biggest way to make sure you're doing it safely.
Right. I can't remember where this conversation happened or if it was like in, maybe you and I talked about it at one point, but like eggs, like don't people sometimes like throw in eggs without cooking them or something? And it's like, just because it's like being blended up, it's just different. Yeah. You have to think about, yes, things have to be cooked first. Meat has to be cooked before you blend it, that kind of thing. So
I mean, like there's always controversy, right? People eat raw eggs. So like, you know, it's always so hard, but yes, it's best practice. You want to eat it by mouth. Don't put in the blender that way. Assume the blender is the mouth in a way. And that can be helpful.
Yes. That's a good way to put it. Any others that you hear a lot, or is that kind of most of the biggest ones?
Those are the biggest ones, but I would say the last one that I think is important to touch on is that it's too much time, because this is what people hear. This is what doctors are telling people. I think as clinicians, we have a tendency to assume what our families are capable of. And so we gatekeep information and we just make the choices for them rather than becoming informed ourselves to be able to help them and do it easily. Because now that I've been doing this, I see it's not that hard. Of course, it's more work up front. And if you are in the weeds, trying to do something new is completely intimidating and you might not have time for it. But again, there's ways to just test things out. And in my experience too, it is a little bit more work up front because you're learning something new, but in just a few months, usually you get in a good plan and digestive issues have improved so much that you get actually time back in your day. Like you imagine going from, I was just working with a family. She's getting fed every hour around the clock with continuous feeds. She's puking multiple times every day. And just in a month, we were able to go to bolus feeds, off continuous feeds. She's no longer puking. And that is so much time back in your day. It's less calls to your medical team. You know, it's less stress worrying about it. And so, yes, it takes a little bit more time, but again, there's so many ways to like, you know, I help families just batch blend on the weekend. So, I mean, I physically am not helping them, but I have a strategy, you know, how you can make 4 recipes in batch, put them in the freezer. You're good to go. You don't actually have to blend every day. So lots of ways to make this easier. And I just think it's important to know that you'll get a lot of time back when things are going better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just the fact that you can knock out like a month at a time or something by blocking out a couple of hours and doing it is going to be so worth it. And just hearing you say that too is so exciting. Like, because Levi has been on continuous feeds his whole life. We've tried bolus feeds here and there, and then, you know, we end up in the hospital for whatever reason, not related to bolus feeds, but it just sends us backwards where we're like, okay, we're not going to rock the boat when he's like not tolerating feeds as well as he normally does. And to be honest with you, continuous feeds is easy. Like, it's a pain in the butt. You know, he's constantly hooked up, but it also doesn't require any thought at this point, you know? And it's like, we just have so much else on our plate that it's just like one thing that we're like, okay, it's mindless. We just do it. We know his rate. Boom. That's it. But, you know, we're so, so eager to get to bolus feeds. And I feel like once we get there, we'll be like, holy shit, this is life changing. How did we wait so long? It's just like crazy. Again, I can't believe he's almost one, because it's just like time flies, and it's just wild how long we've been doing this. And I'm excited to hear that you've seen those results for people. And I'm hopeful that we'll, you know, have a similar story. Also, really quick one before we move on to the next question. What you mentioned, blenders, like the BlendTech and the Vitamix, I wanted to put in a plug really quick for parents, just in case. So like, I'm sure people in this community are familiar with like the early intervention programs that each state has. So like in Kansas, it's called Infant Toddler Services, whereas like on the Missouri side, it's First Steps, I believe. And so a lot of these early intervention programs, the ones that do like PT and OT and all that kind of stuff in your home, a lot of times they have funding to provide certain things like equipment. So we got a Vitamix from them for free. So if you have therapists coming in your home, providing services for your child, definitely ask about that, because they may have some equipment and resources for you to either get it completely provided or like funding, you know, to go toward it or something. So I just wanted to throw that out there in case people are like, if that's another barrier for people, they're like, I don't want to spend $500 on a freaking Vitamix, then you might be able to get one, to get help with it, because the costs of a medical child add up. It is crazy. Insurance does not cover everything like people think. It's a pain in the butt. So yeah.
I'm not saying that BlendTech has a medical discount program. So for some reason through early on or something like that, I've helped so many families get a BlendTech for, it's a refurbished blender, works great for, I think it's like $75 total.
Oh, amazing.
Super easy to fill out. It's just one page form, a couple questions. Your doctor or dietitian has to fill a little bit out as well, but you'll have my contact information in the show notes, I'm sure. So if anybody needs that form, I think it's hard to find sometimes, but that can make it a lot easier too, to get a good blender.
Amazing. Good to know. There's a lot of companies that have like special little discounts for people. So like a Wonderfold wagon, we're looking into getting one of those. And apparently they have a significant discount for special needs families too. You just have to get like a letter of medical necessity from a PT. So another random tidbit for the parents out there. Okay. So like I mentioned, you know, we're obviously very eager to get Levi on a blended diet and have some of these benefits that you're talking about, you know, better regularity with his bowel movements and less reflux. And, you know, thankfully weight gain's not an issue for him, but just like not being hooked up 24/7, you know, all of these things that will hopefully be just like life-changing for all of us. You've really convinced me, you know, over the past several months that this will be so, so good for him, but just our family as a whole, having time back, having like mind space back, and being able to include him in like meals and stuff. Like there are times where Rhett like wants to feed him something and I'm like, oh no, no, sweetie, like he can't have that. So if Rhett can kind of get involved and help us like do some of the blending or, you know, put certain little things into his feed, I think that would be super fun for all of us. Like for Rhett to feel involved in Levi's care and for Levi to, you know, eventually just be aware that like, oh, we're kind of all eating some of the same things. So there's just so many cool opportunities that I think can come with this. So for others who are listening, you know, what would you say to parents who are like me, who are like, okay, I'm ready to try this?
Yeah. So I think it's important to recognize what you have capacity for first. So I think it's fine to recognize too, that continuous feeds have been working for you. Like you said, you just run. You can only space yourself out so much for all the different therapies and things that you're working on. Yes. But that being said too, like it does not have to be a total overhaul. So I think that's the biggest thing for people is like, I want to do this, but everything's working okay right now. I don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah.
But you can just test things out. Like it is totally doable and okay to start small. I mean, store-bought puree, I know you've been doing that a little bit, where small boluses of a store-bought puree, you don't have to do any of the blending yourself, just test a little bit out and see how that goes. I mean, you can even too, before purchasing a big blender or looking into that, there are plenty of foods that a standard blender will blend fine. You know, just don't use peels, seeds, that sort of thing. But single foods, you know, just testing things out, blending a little sweet potato, let's say, and giving a little bit of that and just seeing how it goes. There's so many ways to make this easier. If you feel like you want to try some real food, but you have been doing, you know, a standard formula, maybe trying a real food-based formula would be a good next step, just to get yourself used to that and maybe choosing a little bit of a thicker one and seeing if that helps, especially if your kiddo struggles with reflux. So I just think it's good to know that it's not an all or nothing approach. It's not a total overhaul. There's so many ways to do this that are easier. I've touched on this a little bit, but you know, even too in Blended 2PD Made Simple, the program that I have is, you know, we take a test approach. We just try things out. We have recipes that are the same calorie as your formula. So you can just try something out, replace one meal. You can stay at one meal for as long as you want, forever.
Yeah.
You know, continuous feeds works well, or overnight feeds are getting extra nutrition and that's working to keep vomiting under control. And you just want to do a lunch meal, try that. You know, that will build momentum. And like you said, the hardest thing is just the anticipation and the just getting started. And so you can just test something out and that makes a big difference.
If you're a busy mom and looking for some workouts to do, I want to recommend the program I use called Expecting and Empowered. These workouts are programmed specifically for pregnancy and postpartum, so they are safe for both of these seasons of your life that can significantly impact your fitness journey and what you feel comfortable doing. I have now used these during two pregnancies, and I'm using it again now postpartum. What I love about them is that the workouts are quick and effective, only lasting about 30 minutes, which feels very doable for a busy schedule like ours. I genuinely enjoy them and feel so good every time I finish a workout. They also have a program called Elevated and Empowered for those who are a little further postpartum and looking for something more advanced, and you can even find yoga and a running program within the easy-to-use app. You can use my affiliate code WellnessForTheWin to save on your subscription to the Expecting and Empowered app. I highly recommend checking it out if you're looking to get started or switch up your fitness routine. Okay, now back to the episode.
I would also say too, because there's not a lot of support and it can be uncertain, if you can get yourself in a community of people that are trying this out with you, I think that can be so helpful. Of course, I have a community, but there's Facebook groups. You can follow people on Instagram. I think just seeing other people do this and being able to ask questions, and it just takes a little bit of the pressure off, but also makes you feel like you're not alone in trying something like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Since I've been in your community, it truly is so important, just as a medical parent in general, to have community and people who understand what you're going through, because there's a lot of people who don't. And so just feeling like you're not alone, but also like people will ask questions, and, you know, I'll get an email about, you know, a question someone put on like the discussion board. And it's always like, oh, that's interesting. You know, like if someone else has the question, or if you have the question, someone else probably does too. Like, so there's no stupid questions when it comes to this. Like, there's so much to learn and so much to know. And that's where you step in and like help people. So I completely agree. I think the community aspect is huge. And like you said, you know, you can totally just ease yourself in one meal a day. And I think that's the biggest thing is like, once you feel like, oh, I've achieved this, like maybe once I do have a little bit more capacity, I can try a little bit more. And so, yes, that feels a lot less overwhelming than feeling like you have to completely go from like completely formula to totally blended diet. Like that's, it's just not going to be the way that it is. And that's perfectly okay.
Yeah. Test something out and then go back to formula, you know?
Exactly.
I think it feels that you like push the rock forward that is just going to keep rolling and you have to keep up with it, where like you are in control of this and you can, like I said, test something out and be like, okay, we're busy right now with the holidays or whatever it is, and we just don't have time for this. But you know, having some of the tools to like maybe do a holiday meal here and there, but do mostly formula is totally fine.
Yeah. And I think too, like we said, you know, some medical teams may be supportive, some may not. I'm super thankful. I have multiple dietitians through like our early intervention program and then through our medically complex care clinic that Levi goes to. They have a dietitian as well. And both of them are super well versed in the blended diet and super supportive of it. And all the doctors are like, great, go ahead. Like I've gotten zero pushback. So it's been great because I think they see so many kids who do it and see the benefits. And so thankfully they're all completely on board with it, which like makes our life a lot easier. You know, and makes us a lot less hesitant to try it as well. So I think, you know, if you have a team that's giving you a lot of pushback, shop around. You know, I think it's so important to remember, like your doctors are working for you. you don't have to stick with people who you don't feel like are 100% the perfect fit for you and your child. We have gotten second opinions on multiple different disciplines. Like we've gone to different GI, we've gone to a different neuro, and we feel like we're in a better spot because of that. So never, ever hesitate getting a second opinion and like doing what you feel is best for you and or your child. So lastly, do you have any final hacks that you want to share with parents to make them feel like this is easier and doable in their lives?
Yes. So one hack, this could go for anybody in the tube feeding community, is there are better syringes out there. I think that there's the syringes that you get from your medical supply company are meant for one-time use. The rubber plunger, as soon as it gets wet, gets really sticky. Now, if you are doing gravity feeds where it's just, you know, dripping through, or you're not using that plunger, maybe it's not that big of a deal. But if you have to push food through physically through the syringe with the plunger, there are better syringes out there that are reusable, that don't expand when they're wet. They're so much easier to push. You can get them covered by insurance. So anyone that has an O-ring syringe, so anything that says, you know, like the Neomed O-ring, basic O-ring, miracle O-ring, they're all syringes that have that silicone O-ring that's not going to expand. Mm. My favorite is the basic O-ring syringes. They are specifically for tube feeding. They use blue writing, so it's a little bit less medical. They last for so long. Most families will purchase 5 to 10 syringes and not need to get them again for 6 months. So they're not too expensive. And I do have a discount code, so we can put that in the show notes as well. Okay. But I think they're $3 or $4 a syringe, and then you can get 5 packs and be on your way for 4 to 6 months. But they make a huge difference, especially for thicker food. There's nothing worse. Well, there's a lot of things worse. I don't like to say that. It's not fun when you are pushing thick food through and it's you're shoving it so hard that it explodes on the ceiling. You know?
So oh my gosh. Yeah.
Get syringes that make this easier.
Okay. Good to know.
My other hack would be the blender. I think we've kind of touched on this enough. It makes a huge difference because, again, it's not fun when you blend all this food, you have packaged it away, you give it, and it's clogging the tube. And you're like, okay, cool. I have nothing to use. So I would say having a good blender, again, that medical discount or looking into early on can make a big difference. And then there's a lot of other equipment too that makes this a lot easier. I would say you don't need it to get started because you just don't know where it's going to go, and don't waste your money yet. But we can always link that to a thing to my favorite products. There's reusable tube feeding pouches that make it, you can avoid syringes, just things that make this more efficient, more fun. I mean, even too, for kiddos that have the capability, the developmental ability to squeeze their own pouch, I mean, that can be kind of a fun way to feed themselves. So there's so many ways to make this more fun and more efficient for families.
Absolutely. Awesome. Yes. And we will definitely link all those things up for people to easily find any of the resources that might be helpful. And lastly, gosh, is there anything that we missed that you want to discuss?
Man, I don't think so. I just want to encourage you, if you've been considering this, just to start talking about it with your team and think about the benefits and looking into it, and just know that you have more control over you or your child's tube feeding than maybe you think. And in my experience, this has been such an awesome way to give people autonomy back, give people choice back, to normalize their tube feeding experience, and just be able to benefit in more ways than, you know, nutrition.
I love that so much. Well, where can people find you if they want to learn more from you or join some of your programs or other services and resources that you offer?
Yeah, so I'm hanging out on Instagram at Blended Tube Feeding. So please connect me there. I'm happy to message you. So reach out if you have questions. And then I mentioned Blended Tube Feeding Made Simple. That is the program that I have. A couple different things. You can just subscribe to the resources and be able to access me in the community. So that's a very accessible way to just get your feet wet, see how you can test things out, be a part of the community. But if you do need more support, we do have levels to work with me one-on-one. But as far as anything coming up exciting, we are doing a Blended Diet Starter Kit Workshop Series. So that's going to be in May. I'm really excited about this. It'll be the first time that we run it, but really the goal of this is to break down the barriers of getting started, because like we said, there are so many things that, if you're excited about this, are still stopping you in your tracks from just making that next step. And so you don't have to be ready to blend tomorrow to start this. It's really going to be trainings on breaking down the barriers of, if you are in the weeds, the digestive issues, we can work through some of that. There are simple tweaks to improve digestive issues that you probably haven't tried yet. I know you probably think I've tried everything, but in my experience, there's things that we can do to minimize that reflux and just get you some time and energy back so that you have energy to learn this. And also too, we went through some of those myths, but we'll be breaking down like, how can you actually avoid that stuff? Like, how can you really avoid the clogged tubes? And I want you to feel very confident before you blend your first meal that it's going to go fine. And also confident to talk to your team about this, because they probably will get pushback, or if not, I mean, you just want to feel confident in your choices for your child or your loved one. We'll be going over too, like, I know it's like, yeah, this all sounds great, but what does this actually look like in real life? And everyone has a unique feeding plan, and so it can be hard to picture what that's going to look like. So we'll be breaking down just different ways to get started with real food for whatever way that works best for you, so that you have all the tools to do this. And again, just test things out, right? Not a total overhaul, but feel really confident in doing this. So it'll be live calls. You'll have, which will all be recorded. I know we're all busy, but these are going to be very short, to the point calls that you can watch on your own time if needed. Show up live if you can. Private group to ask questions, to apply what you're learning. And that will be run May 6th through 9th. So we'll include some information about that too, but it's going to be exciting.
Yay. Awesome. I love it so much. And yes, I hope this will be a good push for people to just like get their toes wet. And like you said, feel confident before they even begin. Like, don't feel like you have to start immediately, but just getting the information, the education, the resources, and everything to set you up for success, so that you feel good starting and not completely lost and overwhelmed and like it's just one more to do. So thank you so much. This was amazing. I learned stuff just like I do from you every time we talk. So I appreciate your time and your knowledge and everything that you share, and hope people will benefit from this conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode and took away some tips or wisdom that you can apply to boost your health and happiness starting today. If you did, I would love it if you would subscribe to the podcast and leave a rating and review to help other women like you find my show and get inspired to start living a life they love. Also, take a quick screenshot and share it to your Instagram stories. Be sure to tag me at Wellness for the Win so I can see why you love today's show. Thank you so much for listening, and talk to you next time.